is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Our vote that could spike the gas prices, that's today. Republicans getting close to taking the House, too, and those close California districts are helping. First, though, to the mountain fire.
This devastating fire in Ventura County. More than 200 homes burned. People going back to those homes when they can and just seeing the rubble that's left. And the fire crews still on the line, still trying to put out this fire and helping those in the neighborhoods when they can. Let's go live to Camarillo Heights and our John Baird.
Well, it's actually sunny and warm, and the winds are very calm up here today. You can definitely tell the difference from yesterday. The trees are barely moving, and that's a very good sign. Now, some people have returned to the area, even though they're not supposed to, because they wanted to know if they still had a home to return to. I talked to Chad. He was relieved. He told me he didn't know what to expect until he saw it with his own eyes.
Our property's fine. We got lucky. By the grace of God and very brave firefighters, our property's fine.
So is that up here?
Our next door neighbors on across the street and next door is 100% loss. And the neighbor on one side is fine too. So a lot of it is just good fortune and
luck.
And luck, yeah, the wind direction, all that stuff. But
embers,
yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Yes.
He says he has no water, no power. But he didn't return to find a smoldering pile of debris like so many other people. Nearly 200 structures damaged or destroyed, most of them single-family homes. And they're not done counting yet. They have more of that to do. They've got to do more inspections. Plus, the fire is still burning. Mike and Vicky, even once it's contained, it could be weeks before it's actually out. But the containment numbers right now are 7%.
The winds have come down, John, as you've been saying. Yeah, we've gone from 70,000 customers without power for medicine this time yesterday to 8,200 without power this morning. Most in L.A. County, then some in Ventura County, then San Bernardino and Riverside.
A lot of people are going to have to deal with their home insurance companies now, which is going to be another nightmare. Disasters like these fires have fueled the home insurance crisis in California. And Pasadena is one of a bunch of cities that have urged the governor to do more about this crisis. Our Natalie Tavidian talked to Victor Gordo. He's the mayor of Pasadena.
With this call to the governor, what is the urgency? What exactly is the call? Is it asking for fair insurance, stable insurance?
Well, it's asking for a couple of things. One, it's asking that the governor and the state legislature and the insurance commissioner work with the insurance industry to see if there's a way to partner and bring rates under control, whether that's relief that comes in the form of regulation or process or a contribution. The other thing that the action asks for is that the governor fund the FAIR plan at a higher level so that those who can't find insurance on the open market are able to find insurance through the FAIR plan.
Future of gas prices up for a vote today. This is the one we've been telling you about. The Air Resources Board expected to approve this plan, supported by the governor, to incentivize companies to produce cleaner fuel. In that process, it's probably going to push up the gas prices. Republican State Senator Brian Dalley says they're focused on the wrong thing.
The biggest carbon output in California is forest fires. It's the number one emitter, and we don't even count it in our carbon calculation. We count tailpipe exhaust, and we talk about power production, but we don't talk about the biggest emitter, which is forest fires.
So everybody, including the board, agrees a move's going to increase the prices, but nobody knows how much. Last year, there was this estimate, 37 cents a gallon by 2030. Since then, though, the board pulling back on those numbers, saying now it's just too hard to predict.
The L.A. Board of Airport Commissioners has approved a plan to renovate hangars at the Van Nuys Airport, despite some pushback from the council member Imelda Padilla, who argued that the bidding process violated city rules. The approval follows a lawsuit filed by a helicopter company, which accused the city of not renewing its lease and failing to address environmental concerns raised by local residents. Padilla, who represents the district around the airport, criticized the lease process, saying the proposal could negatively impact the local community and environment. The company, which provides helicopter services for hospitals in the area, has argued that its proposed upgrades to the airport would provide public benefits. The plan now goes to the city council for the final vote.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
So, yeah, the way it's headed, although it hasn't been called yet, Republicans could keep control of the House and increase their majority. Last night, Republican Congresswoman Young Kim of Orange County was declared the winner there, defeating the challenger. And there are still dozens of races, though, still undecided. divided across the country, including right here in Southern California. Incumbent Republicans Michelle Steele, Mike Garcia, and Ken Calvert all leading their races, but still too close to call. We talked about it this morning with CBS News congressional correspondent Scott McFarlane, and he says the Democrats aren't getting the results they wanted, certainly here in California.
They're not moving in synchronicity with each other, the California House seats, and that's the problem for Democrats. They needed a wave among these California results coming in late to get the net four U.S. House seats they need to get control. They've been kind of staying even with Republicans across the country, playing to a draw, which, considering the rest of the election for the Democrats, is not the worst thing, but they can't play to a draw and get majorities. They need to have four more wins than the Republicans do. It doesn't appear California is going to bear that out.
Yeah, he says it's not looking good.
There's an expectation, the last of the wave of mail-in ballots, some of which are still in the mail and had not yet arrived at election offices and can arrive until Tuesday and still be counted, they could skew Democratic. They did 2 years ago. They did 4 years ago, but they're going to need some big margin.
We'll see. We also talked to Claremont College political science professor Jack Pitney, and he told us Republicans benefited from the mood in the country.
I think it's a reflection of national trends. Americans were very dissatisfied with the state of the country. Most Americans think the country's on the wrong track. When that happens, people reject the party controlling the White House, and that rejection extends usually down to congressional level. And that's what we're seeing here in the country as a whole and in California.
All good, of course, for Donald Trump.
Keeping the majority is extremely important to him. One, to get legislation through Congress, he needs a majority in the House. Republicans will basically do whatever he says, whereas a Democratic majority would be a bastion of resistance. More important, a Democratic majority would hold very aggressive oversight hearings, try to shine a light on things that they thought the Trump administration was doing wrong. That's not going to happen. Republicans aren't going to do that kind of aggressive oversight. So majority in the House means Trump can pretty much get whatever he wants out of Congress.
He says we got an important answer Tuesday night.
The big question in this election was whether Trump's longstanding unfavorability with the public would outweigh public disaffection with the way things are in the United States. Well, we got the answer on Tuesday night. People are just ticked off at the state of the country about thinking that we're on the wrong track. And when they think that way, people change parties.
Attacks on Israeli soccer fans in Amsterdam, and the FBI is investigating racist text messages sent to black people across the country. Those stories and more as 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
One more election story for you. Winner in the battle between the two controversial LA City Council candidates. Here's Bob Brill.
KNX projects Isabel Jurado has defeated Kevin De Leon for the LA City Council. According to the latest update, she leads by almost 7,000 votes and has 56% of the ballots cast. De Leon was caught on tape as part of a conversation that sparked the racism scandal at City Hall. In a forum recently, Jurado used the F word in referring to the police. Both caused controversy, calling for them to resign. De Leon has been an influential councilman and before that a leader of the Democrats in the state legislature. I'm Bob Brill, KNX News 97.1 FM.
Both Israel and the Netherlands are condemning attacks on Israelis attending a soccer match in Amsterdam. Reporter Linda Gradstein in Jerusalem says Israel is sending two planes to rescue the citizens.
Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke with Dutch Prime Minister Dick Schoof, who said he is horrified by what he called unacceptable anti-Semitic attacks on Israeli soccer fans in Amsterdam. The attackers, who had apparently been waiting for the Israeli fans and were armed with knives and clubs, shouted Free Palestine.
The European Soccer League will move the Israeli team's next match to Turkey to a neutral venue because of the security concerns.
The FBI looking into these racist text messages sent to black Americans. Texts which were sent anonymously addressed the people by name, told them they'd been selected for cotton picking. Some of the messages told recipients to go to this address at a particular time to be sent to plantations. A person in Detroit named Renee got one of these.
A plantation to send us back to a plantation. It's uncalled for.
David Williams lives in Atlanta, received one, responded to it.
And I replied back, well, you better tell Ben I'm not my ancestors. I whip and shoot back.
CBS reporting as some of these texts went to a voicemail that identified them as users of TextNow. That's a provider that allows people to create phone numbers for free. TextNow saying in a statement, once they learned of this, they started shutting down these accounts as soon as they became aware.
A federal judge in Texas says a Biden administration policy that creates a pathway to citizenship for some undocumented immigrants married to U.S. citizens is illegal.
The program allowed undocumented spouses and stepchildren of American citizens to apply for a so-called green card without first having to leave the country. An estimated 500,000 people would have benefited from the program. District Judge J. Campbell Barker said in creating the program, the administration had overstepped its authority. He said it had stretched the legal interpretation of relevant immigration law, quote, past its breaking point. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
President-elect Trump continues to work on that transition. Susie Wiles, manager of his campaign, is going to be the chief of staff. Wiles is going to be the first woman to hold that role. Prior to the announcement, CBS chief election and campaign correspondent Robert Costa talked to Trump over the phone.
He said he's very busy working on setting up his team and will soon lay out his policy goals. He also talked to me about his political coalition, and he said he views the movement that lifted him to victory as historic and suggested it gives him a nationwide mandate support as he works from Florida and prepares to return to the White House.
Florida, a key source of talent for the upcoming administration. A lot of top figures from Florida, those who helped lead the campaign, expected to be appointed to the high-level positions in D.C.
Trump has not said what he would do on student loan forgiveness, leaving millions of borrowers facing uncertainty over what will happen with their payments once President Biden leaves office. Biden promised the student loan cancellation program during his run for the presidency, and Trump criticized the efforts. From its launch, Biden's loan forgiveness faced relentless pushback from Republican opponents. They say it heaps advantage on elites and comes at the expense of those who repaid their loans or did not attend college. Student loan experts say that borrowers around the country are concerned.
California, known as his Democratic stronghold, right, wasn't the case when it came to a lot of the propositions this year on the ballot.
Voters overwhelmingly supported Prop 36, the measure to undo a decade of progressive criminal justice reform, while another proposition that would ban involuntary servitude as punishment for a crime didn't get majority support. David McEwen is a political science professor at Sonoma State University.
You have counties that touch the water that tend to be blue. You have counties that are in the hills or in the mountains that are red, Donald Trump country, and right in the middle is the battleground of purple. And that's where we see, for example, where Democrats and Republicans are trying to win control of the House of Representatives this particular election.
McEwen says this election cycle saw more things pass than in most other California elections. I'm Chris Seaton's KNX News 97.1 FM.
Health officials say it doesn't really matter if you're traveling this holiday season or not. Exposure to COVID, the flu, or RSV risk can be minimized in one easy step, as Jade Hernandez explains.
If you want to enjoy the holidays, tracking COVID or flu outbreaks may not be the best use of your time.
Rather than try to keep track of every kind of place or city you're going in and whether or not they're having an increase, the best thing to do is to just approach the season with preparedness.
Which means vaccinate yourself now so you can enjoy the holidays later. Dr. George Hahn is a director of communicable disease control and prevention.
That mixing and mingling, that tends to be a period when these respiratory viruses increase.
Dr. Hahn and other health officials are encouraging people to get their COVID-19, flu, and RSV vaccinations now. And everyone agrees nothing dampens the holiday spirit more than having to stay home and miss holiday cheer.
I'm Jade Hernandez, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
20 minutes of nonstop news. NTSB with their accident report from the door panel blowout of the Alaskan Airlines flight over in January. Not good news for Boeing, not good news for the FAA. Yeah, things were missing when that plane took off. And leading up to that, inspections, oversight, where were they? Live now with our KNX travel editor, Peter Greenberg.
Hi, Peter. Good morning.
And good morning, guys.
So the report digs deep into the problems. And frankly, it's pretty scary. But I think even scarier is the lack of confidence that things will change enough as a result of this report. What do you think?
Well, let's start with the report itself. It's an exhaustive 600-page report looking at all the factors that led to this incident that happened last January with that door panel blew out of the Alaskan Airlines 737. And as the NTSB investigated, they found out that, first of all, the bolts were missing. They had never been installed. When they asked who worked on the door, the company that was the subcontractor couldn't even give them a name. When they asked Boeing who inspected it, Boeing couldn't give them a name. To make matters worse, it was the culture that Boeing and the subcontractor had with the Federal Aviation Administration, because ultimately they're the ones who are supposed to inspect it, and they didn't. So you have those problems. There's a third problem, and that's Alaskan Airlines itself, because on two previous flights on this plane, they got pressure warning alarms in the cockpit directly, guiding them to that door, and they didn't think it was a big problem. They flew the plane instead. Whenever you have a pressure warning alarm in a cockpit, that's a no-go item. The plane never should have been operated. So right now, this report goes to the FAA because, remember, they're the federal regulatory agency. They're the ones who make policy, and hopefully they'll wake up on this one and not wait, as they've done in the past, to realize that the safety culture here has to be addressed. Boeing and the subcontractor can never be allowed to inspect their own work, and whoever does the inspection, we have to know who they are. And then at the same time, the airline has to have their manuals redone so that if you ever get a pressure alarm, you don't operate the plane.
Right. I mean, question number one, who's the guy who forgot to screw in the door? And then, we can't find him. We don't know who he was or who she was. But to Vicky's, point earlier, does the FAA have the money? Do they have the wherewithal? Do they have the staff to go and actually do the stuff that needs to be done?
Well, under the most recent FAA reauthorization bill, they have gotten more funding from Congress, but that means they have to hire the staff. And they have to train the staff. And one of the reasons why the airlines haven't been getting their deliveries of new planes from Boeing is because they don't have enough FAA inspectors to do the inspection work. And until that happens, the production line slows to a crawl. Airlines don't get their planes, and planes don't get inspected. So hopefully this will be a priority item in the wake of this report.
So let's look at the even bigger picture, because everybody's talking about the election of Donald Trump as president, and that's changing a lot of things. So how do you see things going for the Department of Transportation and travel?
Well, it's part of the Trump campaign that they want less regulation, and that's less regulation among federal agencies like the Federal Trade Commission, the SEC, and others. My guess is that they're going to be hands-off when it comes to trying to do less regulation from the DOT and from the FAA, because those are areas of safety, not finance particularly. And hopefully the work that the DOT has been doing in holding airlines accountable and coming up with a bill for passenger rights, that will continue.
KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg. Peter, thanks.